Game will come to order. The secretary will take the roll.
Vice Chair Brown?
Here.
Vice Chair Fox?
Here.
Senator Curdy?
Here.
Senator Ellsworth?
Excused.
Senator Emmerich?
Excused.
Senator Flowers?
Here.
Senator Fuller?
Excused.
Senator Hertz?
Here.
Senator McLafferty?
Here.
Senator Noland?
Here.
Senator Vermeer?
Excused.
Chair Heimbaugh?
Here. Please silence your cell phone if you're going to be in the hearing today. If you're going to testify, please sign up on the sheets outside. Just remember that everything is public record here, so whatever you say will be recorded and on record. So, to start with, we're going to do some executive action, and we're going to look at Senate Bill 281. Senator Flowers, do you want to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would like to move the passage of Senate Bill 281.
Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair, there is one amendment.
Did you want to introduce your amendment too, then?
Yes, but I need a copy of it, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move Senate Bill Amendment 281-001-001. And this is a very simple amendment. It just installs an effective date of March 1st, 2024. And this is at the advice of the department in order for them to be able to fully implement this change. We're a bit too close to the coming hunting season and application process to implement it immediately. So this would begin March 1st of next year.
Does everybody get the amendment? Is there discussion on the amendment?
Question.
Let's do a voice vote on the amendment to amend Senate Bill 281. All those in favor say aye.
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 We have any proxies here?
Senator Ellsworth, aye by proxy. Senator Fuller, aye by proxy. Senator Emmerich, aye by proxy. And
Senator McCafferty, aye by proxy.
She's online, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, she's... Sorry. The amendment to Senate Bill 281 passed unanimously. Do you want to move your bill again?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I ask for a due pass on Senate Bill 281.
Amended once.
Amended once. Thank you.
Is there discussion on Senate Bill 281 amended once? Seeing none. Let's have a voice vote on 281, amended once. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Senator Ellsworth, aye by proxy. Senator Fuller, aye by proxy. Senator Emmerich, aye by proxy.
Senate Bill 281, amended once, passed unanimously. Let's go to Senate Bill 293. Mr. Vice Chair.
It's Mr. Nolan. Huh? Nolan.
Oh. Mr. Nolan, would you like to move your bill? Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill 293 due pass, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about the bill?
No. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. I meant to, that was an affirmative,
yeah.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah. I would love to, as soon as I read what I'm doing. Oh, yes. This is the, we're trying to make it so that we have the opportunity to help the individuals who come for invasive species to our state. If they happen to have any, we're putting posters so that they can be educated and be aware. It's a great bill. I've talked to the department, and I've talked to a lot of other folks, and knowledge is power, and this will give us the power to help protect our state from invasive, could be from aquatic invasive mussels to hogs and all kinds of things.
Thank you. Are there any amendments to Senate Bill 293? Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 293? Sir, Senator Brown?
One of the questions I had during the committee was about the finances and that they have the money to do that. I have been assured that they do, so I think there's a good deal. Anywhere we can put this message out is a great deal, so I'm going to be a yes.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, let's do a voice vote on Senate Bill 293. Everybody in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Senate Bill 293 passes unanimously.
So proxies?
Let's have some proxies.
Yeah. Okay. Senator Ellsworth, aye by proxy. Senator Fuller, aye by proxy. Senator Emmerich, aye by proxy.
It still passes unanimously. Senator Flowers, you still had some amendments on Senate Bill 295?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have an amendment on Senate Bill 295 that is still in process, and so I'd ask for your indulgence for another few days before, as we kind of work on that. So if we could delay executive action on that until, let's say, next Tuesday, I would be appreciative of it. I know the sponsor would appreciate that as well.
Thank you. We'll have it done before transmittal, won't we?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes our executive action. Let's start out with a hearing on Senate Bill 305. Senator, are you ready?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Tom McGilvray, Santa District 23, Billings, Montana. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm bringing you Senate Bill 305 today, which expands the definition of a non-resident resident for the purpose of receiving, for an out-of-state individual receiving a fishing and hunting license in the state of Montana at a reduced price. Currently, this bill, in the section that we're discussing, I get the copy here. So currently this bill defines a non-resident resident as a person born in Montana who is a child, sibling, or parent of a resident in Montana. What our intent is with Senate Bill 305 is to expand that to a spouse, child, or grandchild of a non-resident under the current language, regardless of it, as if they were born in Montana or not. Mr. Chair and members, when you read this language, it's quite confusing. So we took the liberty of having an amendment drafted which clarifies this language to make it quite clear, so at least we all know what we're voting on and or what you're voting on. And so with your permission, Mr. Chair, I'd like to hand out that potential amendment.
That'd be great.
Thank you, sir.
So, Mr. Chairman, this language is what I'm suggesting that we, if you're favorable toward the bill, that we do, and I'm just going to read it to you because I think you'll find this language is way more clear, and less confusing, because I presented the previous language to multiple people, including the drafter and FWP, who all had various interpretations. So I'll just read it to you. For the purposes of, and I'm starting on line 12, for the purposes of this section, the following definition apply, except for as provided in subsection 1A II, non-resident relative of a resident means a person born in Montana who is the child, sibling, or parent of a current resident but is no longer a resident. The person who is a current resident is not required to have been born in Montana. Then, II, the term includes a spouse, child, or grandchild of a non-resident, meeting the requirements of Section 1AII or 1AI, regardless of whether that spouse or child or grandchild was born, regardless of where the spouse, child, or grandchild was born. So, Mr. Chair, I would appreciate a due pass on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator McGilvery. Do we have proponents in the room for Senate Bill 305?
For the record, my name is Tom Hauptman. I'm from Billings, Montana. Last name is H-A-U-P-T, as in Peter Tom, M-A-N. Just a brief history. After fighting the late Great War of World War II, my father, coming back from Italy, was wounded over in Italy in the 10th Mountain Division. He landed in Billings and decided to set up stakes there and start a family and a business, and so he did. And the family he started to build was, I'm the product of one of his evenings. I, following his footsteps, we were a typical middle-class family, didn't have much money, but we did have the wilds of Montana for hunting and fishing, and it was a lifestyle and childhood that I'll never forget. It was a spectacular, as we all know, to live here, there was no better place to be raised than Montana. Similarly, those memories stay with me to this day, with hunting and fishing with my father. Similarly, I wanted to have the same experience in Montana as I was born here, so my children were all born in Billings also, and I've been a rabid outdoorsman ever since and passed on that tradition to my kids. And as happens to all kids, they grow up, and as sadly as we all know the facts that 50% of all the college graduates in Montana end up having to leave Montana to find employment. And sadly, two of my three have had to do the same thing, even though they just love Montana. So we were able to pass, with years ago, the native-born Montanan, and it's been a tremendous success. The detractors thought they're going to flood the people with out-of-staters coming in, and we had all the typical characters were against it, putting a fence around the state. Well, in fact, all really happened is approximately about 1,000 new people have been buying these native-born Montana licenses. So spreading out of Montana, the effect is de minimis. It had no effect at all, except to bring families together, which is the major purpose I'm here as a dad, because I'd like to bring my kids back and my grandkids and have them have an opportunity so they can spend some time with the old man and my wife, and it'd be great to be able to have this bill passed for my kids, and for all the families who have kids that have left the state, would like to have them bring them back. It's typically my daughter and son two daughters who are out of state. When they come back, they're working. They can hunt maybe a day or two during the entire season. So it's a very, very light footprint. This is a very modest revision to the existing law. And as a dad, and hopefully soon to be granddad, I hope we can get this get her through. And I would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. Good to see you again. Is there other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Scott Bollinger. For the record, B O U Langer, here today on behalf of the Montana Outfitters and Guides Association. Although this doesn't affect the outfitting and guiding industry, we think family traditions are important, and we think it's good to be able to bring back family relatives. Appreciate the senator coming forward with the amendment. We had been going back and forth on some of the language, and it got a little bit confusing, and we wanted to make sure that it was properly worded so there was no confusion and people that wanted to take advantage of this could do it. And we appreciate due pass. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there further proponents in the room? Seeing none, are there any opponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Colin Cooney, C-O-O-N-E-Y, here today on behalf of Trout Unlimited, unfortunately in opposition to this bill. I first wanted to state that we are in no way opposed to people coming home to hunt and fish. We know what a great state Montana is to want to come and recreate in. Our opposition is more in principle, and it's something that we see bills similar to this come up every session. And it's giving certain groups of people or certain folks free and reduced licenses. The general license account is what funds fish, wildlife, and parks. And a little bit of a history lesson, prior to 2015, fish, wildlife, and parks budget, the general license account was in shambles because of the amount of free and reduced licenses that were out. Then Representative Jeff Wellborn brought House Bill 140, I believe the number was, in 2015 after an 18-month period of a collaborative process to basically look at the license account, look at these free and reduced licenses, and bring them back down so that the license account would have then again be whole. Our issue with this type of bill is it starts cutting away. It starts cutting away at that. It was the same as last year with non-resident students. There was another bill about disabled veterans, and it all sounds great, and it's stuff that you think you can support. But again, it's what we like to call a slippery slope. And once these bills start going, and once we start seeing these free and reduced licenses being given away, it starts to chip away at the general license account, and all of a sudden, FWP's budget is back in the red. So, unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, I have not seen the amendments, and so I'm speaking to the bill as I saw it up online this morning, or yesterday, whenever that was. And so unfortunately, we will have to oppose for those reasons. And I will also add that Bob Gilbert with Walleyes Unlimited also asked me to include his name in our opposition as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Marcus Strange, S-T-R-A-N-G-E. Still trying to think of a funny connection to make there with the name, but I will say I appreciate the roomier venue for the hearing today, sir. I'm representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. We have great respect for the sponsor and nothing but admiration for what he's trying to do here. However, there are some things that raise concerns, and I would say that they are reserved concerns, and I'll just very briefly walk through what those are. We are currently oversubscribed in our non-resident hunting opportunities, which is having a very poor effect on resident hunters. Currently, we are 3,430 reduced-price non-resident license over the 17,000 and 4,600 caps. The non-resident relative is unlimited and, as such, could have the potential to double this number in a very short amount of time. While we understand, again, the good intentions of the sponsor, these numbers are very concerning for us. We're here to advocate for the citizens of Montana, and we just feel like these numbers need to be addressed before we could lend our support to this bill. And so because of that, we stand in opposition, although we would be willing to work with the sponsor. He's been great so far. He's listened to our concerns, and we want to continue that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name's Katiana Stutzer. Last name's S-T-U-T.
Ma'am, I guess they're having a hard time hearing online, so if you guys speak more into the mic, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, for the record, my name's Katiana Stutzer. Last name is S-T-U-T-Z-E-R. I'm here on behalf of the Montana chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And as the prior opponent laid out for you. We know that it's an ongoing problem and a theme this session, that there's a growing frustration with the number of non-resident hunters in Montana, and it's increasingly difficult to sustain quality hunting opportunities for residents. There's already several bills introduced to address this concern, and more to come. And at this time, we just don't see the solution as making it easier for non-residents to hunt in Montana. Despite the good intentions, we think this maybe goes a little bit too far without enough benefits from our perspective. And so we would respectfully ask the committee to table the bill as written. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further opponents? Seeing no more in the room, we have one online, I think. Do we, Casey? Stephanie Prater.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, go ahead.
My name is Stephanie Prater, P-R-A-T-E-R. And I would like to also oppose SB 305. I just feel like the overcrowding and having non-residents now have 29% of our licenses that are sold in the state of Montana is a little concerning. That's far more than the 10%. And so for that reason, there's no reason we should be selling non-resident tags without having them at full price. Further exemptions, discounts, and loopholes don't need to be made, I do not feel. I feel like the non-resident come home to hunt native tag should be capped, and that one is not. And so for that reason, I would urge you to vote no on SB 305. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further opponents? Seeing none, are there informational witnesses?
Chair Heinbaugh, other members of the committee, for the record, my name is Quentin Kujula. First name is Q-U-E-N-T-I-N. Last name is K-U-J-A-L-A. I'm fortunate to be Chief of Staff for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I'm here today representing the Director as an informational witness on SB 305, and in that capacity, Chair will rise for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further informational witnesses? Seeing none. Questions from the committee? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for Quentin.
Chair Heinbaugh, Vice Chair Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair Quentin, or Mr. Kujula, excuse me, I'm sorry.
No,
you know, I think we have another bill that we just are going to be considering soon where we've had to put a different effective date, to set that effective date back or ahead, I guess you could say, because by the time this is in effect, we will already be selling licenses for the new year. Is this something we need to do on this bill as well?
Chair Heinbaugh, Vice Chair Brown, I don't know if I see an effective date, and if that is in fact the case, I understand that it would come into play in October, which would roll it into the next license year, so would not be available as written for the 2023, this coming license year, starting March 1. Chair Heinbaugh, Vice Chair Brown.
So just follow up, Mr. Chair. So you don't feel like we need to add anything to this? You just wouldn't put it in effect until the following year?
Chair Heinbaugh, Vice Chair Brown, yes. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. So, yeah, as written, we understand that it would come in effect for those licenses to be sold for the 2024 license year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none. Senator Wheeler, closing your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I just want to point out a couple things with all due respect to Trout Unlimited today. This will actually increase revenue. It won't chip away at anything. And just for the committee's information, I because I sit on the audit committee, I asked FWP to give me a list of how much money they have in their various accounts. And if you just, and this was as of 2020, I assume these have grown since then. They had $78 million in their general license account and $180 million in all special revenue accounts. So obviously money's not an issue here. This is de minimis, as the proponent of this bill, Mr. Houtman, already said. You know, if you saw, you know, a couple hundred more hypothetically in the state of Montana, I would be shocked. But what this bill is about is family. You know, I'm a resident of the state of Montana. My father was born in Montana. His father was born in Montana. His father came to Montana in 1862. He was the first California immigrant from the state of California, came here to mine gold. So everybody's come here from somewhere. Unless you're a native, then I don't know how far that goes back. But my point here is this is about family. And we got to remember that when you bring your grandkids back to Montana to hunt, you know, that's a good thing. There's special laws in place to help kids get introduced to hunting. You know, this is something that we want to see happening. We want to see kids and grandkids and families hunting in the state of Montana. So I just remember what this is all about. And I appreciate MOGA coming in and supporting this bill, because, you know, it's not all about the money. It's about what hunting, fishing, and family is all about. So let's keep that in mind. And I would really appreciate it. I do pass. If the committee has concerns about the bill, I'd certainly entertain working with the committee to help it get over the top and get onto the floor for further action. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator McGilvery. That closes our hearing on Senate Bill 305. Now we're going to look at Senate Bill 298. One thing I was going to say, Senator Molnar, Senator McGilvery took 15 minutes, so that's kind of what we're accustomed to. So,
I treasure your custom, sir.
But in all seriousness, we appreciate everybody being here, but don't talk yourselves out of the bill. We'd like to just be as short as you can and give us the facts and don't repeat them a bunch of times. Go ahead, however you want to do that. I wish you wouldn't point them things at us.
Mr. Chairman, can I start while they're doing that?
You can open your bill, Senator Molnar.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Brad Molnar, M-O-L-N-A-R, Yellowstone County, Senate District 28. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is a slightly unique take on how to present a bill. I have surveyed all members that hold a PTMAE, the permit to use modified equipment. Their name specific, because the top batch are from your county. All the rest are from the counties on this committee. In other words, it's not about what lobbyists say. It's not about what I say. The question is this a reasonable accommodation for the people I'm trying to make it for? So if you look at the top page of the paper handout, these are the responses from all of the mail-outs. 250 were mailed out of the 357 that have it. These are the ones that are still alive. The list is 20 years old. It's never been cleaned up. Fish and Game cleaned it up for me, and that's what it is. So the question was, I still use a draw lock, which is the only accommodation the state of Montana will allow. 27 yes, 64 no. The draw lock is a good accommodation for me. 14 yes, 72 no. One said he wasn't exactly sure what the question was. A crossbow would be a better accommodation for me. Yes, 83. No, 3. One really didn't know. He said he'd never seen a crossbow. I have harvested animals with the draw lock. Yes, 18. No, 79. Are you a disabled veteran? Yes, 17. No, 69. I will interject here. I put down the answer they gave in the written part that they could fill out. Many said, I'm a veteran. I'm disabled. I was not disabled in action. Please don't count me as that. It actually comes to about 33 if you skip that part of their answer. Should Montana require a non-hunting companion for all disabled hunters? Yes, 9. No, 81. Unsure, 1. Should crossbows be banned for the disabled? Yes, 2. No, 89. 1 undecided. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would ask that we turn to the bill itself. This is somewhat different than prior. All the bill says is if the state admits you are disabled, so you have a PTMAE permit, you may use a crossbow, but only during, but you can use it during archery-only seasons. However, it is non-traditional and not used by anyone else. Hopefully there's an amendment that says that. I okayed this afternoon. They said they would pass it out. So that would become part of the bill. Other than that, it says that if the department or the commission is going to say, no, you can't use this accommodation, they have to put it in writing. The Americans with Disabilities Act says it must be in writing. They've never done that. It's time they did. It also says that it can be appealed. So the commission says no, because we don't believe you're disabled. We don't care what the doctor said. You can take it administratively, or you can take it to district court and say, put it in writing. I want proof. So other than that, the only reasons under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and more importantly, the Rehabilitation Act, is, which those are in your handout there, is that it's going to cost the department too much money. We make them a couple of bucks by selling the permit for $5 so that we can track them and see what's going on with the program that sunsets in 5 years. You have ruined a special event. Special event in this case would be archery season. Last year, members of the committee, we sold 58,299 archery tags. There's 80 people with a PTMAE that says they want to hunt with it. You can't ruin archery season with 80 people. And over half of them buy archery licenses. They're part of the other call, because they do go out with their draw lock. And you will notice in the comments, yes, I use the draw lock. In the comments, it says it's dangerous. I can't pull it back. It's not accurate. I have to have somebody else with me. That is not an accommodation. So with that, there might be some other things in here. There has to be a crossbow safety course. Self-injuries with a crossbow are twice that of a compound bow. Double. I think the safety course is required. So there's another. I will refer to this as we go through it, maybe to answer questions. One of the things that I think is of paramount importance would be the last page, which if you look at Elk Hunter Success, that's rifle, for residents, as you go down through the years, cross or archery equipment, standard archery equipment, quite often they have a greater amount of success than rifle hunters. You can't say that 80 guys, some in motorized wheelchairs with treads, can in any way be called a disruption for this program, which is called Let Them Hunt. They're disabled. They took a round in Afghanistan. Let them hunt. That's all we're saying here. So other than that, and I think this really helps a lot, is the fiscal note. If you take a look at it, on page 3, section 5, 3D, they're claiming that this creates 5,100 new hunters because that's how many we have that can hunt from a vehicle. That's not what the bill says. The bill says that the commission may handle permits for those that hunt from a vehicle and the permit to hunt with a crossbow. It doesn't commingle them. This is a separate permit. It also says that this that there's all these disabled people out there. This is a specific disability. You can't hold or draw a bow. Alzheimer's doesn't count. Bad hips doesn't count. My bad leg doesn't count. Very specific. We maxed out at 357 people with a permit. Maxed out. So half of the new PTMAE holders who have never had an archery tag, or I mean of those that are over 70, would suddenly buy an archery tag. They haven't hunted for 70 years with a bow, and they're going to buy this. These are absurd. 17 and 18 sections, not all of these hunters are already surveyed. There is no new cost. They hunt with a rifle. They get surveyed. They hunt with a bow. They get surveyed. There is no new cost. The fiscal note is fiction. That's why I didn't sign it. So with that, I'll explain what these are very quickly. I hope to then turn it over to the proponents and opponents. So with your permission, Mr. Chairman.
Members of the committee, this is a crossbow.
Why don't you get to the mic there? We'll just...
This is my crossbow. The reason I can use it... Getting all wrapped up here. Is I can crank it to cock it. Takes less than 5 pounds pressure. You can't do that with a compound bow. It can't be done. Matter of fact, I was hoping that young Mr. Roscoe could show how he can shoot this. Ah, I found it. Can you come over here, please? That's how he can hunt. He cannot hunt with a compound bow. The compound or the crossbow is the only modification ruled by the state of Montana to be inappropriate. We don't say how big your guide dog has to be. We don't say how long your white cane has to be. We don't say which restaurant you can go into with your dog, what kind of van you can drive, what kind of lift you have to have. This is the only one the state of Montana says is an accommodation you can't use. That means he can't hunt, and that's a violation. Thank you.
That is the only thing the majority of people that can't hold or draw a bow can use. That's it. If this isn't allowed, you can't hunt in Montana. You came back with a 7.69 by 308 round right here from Afghanistan. You can't hold a bow. You can't draw a bow. In Montana, you can't hunt a public resource on public land. That's illegal. So,
that's good.
This is a standard compound bow. I bought it from my 11-year-old grandson. This is legal. This is not. You can hold it like this. You can hunt. If you got it like me, put your elbow on your side to hold it, you cannot. That's what this is about. Home defense mechanism. This is the bow I hunted with. Those that say this is too fancy, too advanced, look in your pages. The definition of a compound bow. Is that the compound bow is much stiffer than a recurve bow. The limb stiffness makes the compound bow more energy efficient than other bows. In conjunction with pulleys and cams, the compound bow has a string of plated pulleys on one or both, and that as the pulley cams rotate, the archer gains mechanical advantage over the bending limbs. More energy is stored in comparison to other bows. Those that will oppose me in 1 minute, to my knowledge, all use that. It's the exact same technology. Whatever's wrong with this is wrong with that. With that, I'll sit down and we'll see where it goes. Powder River, letter buck.
Thank you, Senator Molnar. Are there proponents on Senate Bill 298? Any proponents on Senate Bill? There we are.
I guess I'll go first. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joel Peden, P-E-D-E-N, and I am a disability rights advocate here in Montana, and today here representing the views of Summit Independent Living Center and Ability Montana. Summit Independent Living Center serves the western part of Montana, and Ability Montana serves the area that we're in, kind of the south central area of Montana. I'm not a hunter, right? So I have no vested interest from a hunting standpoint in this legislation. But as a disability advocate, my training and my knowledge is based on the Americans with Disabilities Act and reasonable accommodations. There's nothing unreasonable to this accommodation. It doesn't dramatically change the program, is the big thing. And an example that I tend to use when I speak to groups about accommodations and what is reasonable. If the city of Helena, where I live, had a sand volleyball league, right, and I wanted to play sand volleyball, but I'm in my wheelchair. My wheelchair is going to get stuck. If I ask them to change their sand volleyball league and play it on asphalt, that's an unreasonable accommodation because it changes the game. Okay? Accommodations also are individual. this isn't the first time this bill has come up. We all know this. And, you know, the Bow Hunters Association, you know what? I appreciate the work that those guys do to get disabled hunters out into the field to be able to bow hunt. The problem that I have with it is that I shouldn't have to be dependent on a third party if I did want to hunt to go hunting, right? It's great that they do that, but as an individual, I have the right to be able to decide when I want to go, where I want to go, and who I want to go with, or if I want to go by myself, the same as any other hunter. That's what the Americans with Disability Act guarantees me as a person with a disability, is that individual right. So I am here today supporting this bill. I ask that you support the bill as well, and that let's give people who may not be able to enjoy the sport of bow hunting the chance to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further proponents?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, esteemed senators of the committee. My name is Sean Conroe, S-E-A-N-C-O-N-R-O-E. I'm here on behalf of Ability Montana, the Center for Independent Living for Southwest Montana. But really, I want to come to you today as a disabled veteran that, though I wouldn't take part in this program, I personally was part of our new black powder season recently where I got a flash in the pan and didn't harvest anything. Still a little salty about that. But I do have experience being in a recovery unit after wounds from Iraq. And in that place, we were fortunate. We had a lot of adaptive equipment where people could use bows and could go out and hunt to the best of their ability. We found that some people simply could not hunt with those bows, even with the best adaptive equipment and the best training. Fortunately, the state of Georgia doesn't really care how you kill hogs. As long as you're killing them, they're pretty fine with it. And so we were able to get those crossbows out there. But I have battle brothers that can't do that in the state of Montana the way they need to. And so we urge you, please, pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Scott Birkenbuehl. That's B as in boy, I-R-K-E-N-B-U-E-L. And I'm from Bozeman, Montana. And I'm a fourth-generation Montanan, hunter, conservationist, angler. And I think this is a reasonable accommodation for folks with significant disabilities, as was previously mentioned by the author, that not all disabilities are going to be able to qualify to use this device as an accommodation because their disability is not going to be significant enough to do so. But you saw Mr. Roscoe and just the difficulty he had even getting it mounted. We're not going to be stealthy. We're going to say that for sure. But I'd like you all to consider this strongly as well as pass it on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponents? We're having a hard time hearing online, so people can call, talk in the mic a little better.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Adam Haight, spelled H-A-I-G-H-T, representing the Laborers Local 1686. Some of you may be wondering why a union guy is in fish and game. But really, construction, the laborers, it's a dangerous job and it beats up your body. And oftentimes, our members, by the time they reach retirement, have some sort of disability. We think that this bill can give them a little more of an opportunity to get out there in the field, enjoy hunting in Montana. And for that, we ask for a due pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Amanda Frickle, spelled F-R-I-C-K-L-E, and I'm here today representing the Montana AFL-CIO, a federation of 38 unions and over 500 locals that collectively represent over 50,000 working Montanans, retirees, and their family members, and I'll just be the second union person that happened to wander into your committee today. And just to follow up on the previous proponent's testimony, I want to give you all a sense for how much of an impact this really has on our membership. According to a recent health and retirement study, which is a national representative study of people aged 51 to 61, they found that among those whose health limits the amount or kind of work they can do, that 36% of those became disabled because of an accident, injury, or illness at work. And among people of this age group who are receiving Social Security disability insurance, 37% are disabled because of an accident, injury, or illness at work. The workplace is a more common source of disabilities for men than it is for women. And among disability insurance recipients, 45% of men and 26% of women are disabled because of workplace accidents, injuries, or illnesses. You've heard this term a lot through proponent testimony. We believe this is a reasonable accommodation to make for working folks who have suffered a disability as a result of a workplace injury. We would urge the committee to allow them that reasonable accommodation to access our public lands and hunt. Thank you for your time.
Chair Heinbaugh, members of the committee, my name is Al Ekblad. I'm here representing the Operating Engineers Local 400. I'm not going to go into detail and repeat what people have said before me, because we work in, whether we're miners or we are equipment operators, we work in a dangerous environment. We had a 21-year-old apprentice get backed over by a truck a year ago. This may be something she chooses to take advantage of if you pass it in the future. The one thing I will add is my father-in-law killed a deer for 65 years straight. He was planning on going hunting with his permit to shoot from my truck when he died in October a few years ago. Let's give everybody the opportunity to enjoy our outdoors. Thank you.
Further proponents. Seeing none in the room, we have some online. Peter Siegel, see there? Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Peter Siegel, and I testified up there in Helena last time this bill came around. And Stephen LePage of the Montana Bowhunters Association made the statement on the record that the Montana Bowhunters Association would help develop a crossbow bill for disabled hunters in Montana. However, they have since went back on that word. Now, I don't know if you can see or not, but on my phone here, I've got a picture of their modified compound bow that I have to use.
We can't see
in order to hunt. All right. And anyway, with that bow, I went to North Dakota for a hunt. In order for me to use my Montana legal archery equipment that the Montana Bowhunters Association made me, which I am extremely grateful and thankful that they did that for me. They are an awesome group of people and an awesome group of hunters, and they do, for the most part, an outstanding job for Montana. I do disagree with them on a crossbow bill, though. But in North Dakota, in order for me to use my legal Montana archery equipment, I had to apply for and acquire a disabled crossbow permit just in order to use my modified compound bow. So if other states are calling it a crossbow, why is Montana not? My modified compound bow has a stock that is basically a chin piece that I put into my chin in order to support the bow. It has a foot stirrup for pulling the string back. It has a trigger, a safety, and I have to rest it on a walking stick because I'm not able to hold it up. It has all the components of a crossbow, except for the fact of how it's held. I hold my modified compound bow vertical rather than horizontal. You just change the way I hold it to horizontal. It's a crossbow in any way, shape, or form. So I asked, why is it not considered a crossbow in Montana? But it's a third party saying this is what we want because it's Montana tradition. Well, if it's called a crossbow in any other state, I beg to state that it is a crossbow. But I do appreciate the Montana bow hunters. Please don't think anything less of them about that. It's just I disagree with them on the crossbow issue. I think for disabled hunters like myself that are stuck in a chair to hunt and we're not able to get where able-bodied are able to get to animals, we take fewer deer, fewer elk, and all around fewer animals than the average hunter. This winter, I pass hunting season, I was able to get two deer, but I had to use a rifle to do it because I ended up getting injured during archery season. But if I was able to use a crossbow, who knows? But please vote yes on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more opponents in the room? Or proponents, I'm sorry, proponents in the room. Seeing none, we'll start with proponents. And I guess I stressed before, let's don't take a long time. Let's try to keep as short as you can. Thank you. So let's start with our opponents.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, hi. My name is Liberty Brown. I'm from Bozeman, Montana. I'm a veteran, and I'm an outdoorsman. The word disabled and disability is being thrown around a lot in this hearing, and I would like to remind everybody present that although this bill is cleverly titled to make one think that it's a disability bill, it is not. Whether you're for or against crossbows as archery equipment, it's important to remind yourself, as you hear this testimony today, to exclude the word disabled from your thoughts, because that's exactly what the bill sponsor did when he drafted this proposed legislation. Nowhere in this bill regarding crossbows does it mention disability or disabled other than in the title and one spot in the whereas. That was the same problem I had with SB 111, and it's the same problem that most of the people that are sitting over here in the opponent side have as well. With SB 111, the fiscal note stated that there would be over 7,500 people that qualified for the crossbow permit. I'm guessing, since we haven't seen the fiscal note and Senator Molnar said that he wasn't going to sign it, that the numbers were pretty similar to what SB 111 said. If you read the section in the crossbow, it does not say anything. It does not define what disability is. It uses terms like permanent condition, severely limits, but nowhere does it say disabled. Permanent condition is not the same as disabled. I have a permanent condition in my wrist. I broke it 20 years ago. I've had two surgeries since. It makes it extremely hard for me to pull a bow. I would qualify to get this crossbow permit under the terms of this bill. That's not fair. Mr. Roscoe, sure. That'd be awesome if he could do that. But that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about able-bodied people like me that still legally would qualify for this crossbow permit under the terms of this bill that would be out shooting elk in the prime at over 100 yards with a weapon that can shoot in excess of 500 feet per second. In my handouts, the first handout is a crossbow permit application from the state of Washington. For their disabled crossbow permit program. In it, it clearly defines how you qualify and what you have to go through to qualify to get a crossbow permit. Before you vote yes or do pass on this, or before you have any questions, read through that permit, please, and just compare it to what is written in this bill, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I don't think it's fair that people like me should be able to go out and hunt with a crossbow permit, and especially when the technology in crossbows, hence my second handout, the technology in crossbows, you can trust what Senator Molnar says, that they're the same thing. They are not the same thing. And you can read there, they advertise themselves as the next rifle. So anyway, I'm not asking that you oppose crossbows for the disabled. That's not what I'm up here to do. I'm asking that you oppose legislation that is disguised as a disability bill. Do not pass on SB 298. Thank you.
Are there further opponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Paul Kemper, K-E-M-P-E-R, and I'm the Vice President of the Traditional Bowhunters of Montana. I am here today in opposition to Senate Bill 298, and I hope to shed some light and context of disapproval of this effort from Montanans, the Commission, and the courts. This is the 10th time a crossbow bill has been brought to our legislature. The previous 9 attempts have failed. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has been challenged in federal court 3 times regarding the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Permit to Modify Archery Equipment Program. Every time, the case has been dismissed because Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the Permit to Modify Archery Equipment are in compliance with the ADA and already provide a reasonable accommodation. The Fish and Wildlife Commission, which is appointed by the governor and confirmed by this committee, already has the full authority to include crossbows in the archery season. The commission has also expressed interest in working on this issue via the commission process. A temporary injunction was heard in the United States District Court in 2021 and dismissed. I'll quote from the ruling. The court finds that the alteration to the status quo they request is more akin to changing the diameter of a golf hole from 3 to 6 inches, or more analogously, permitting a golfer to use a club that performs the swinging action for him, more than permitting a golfer to use a cart instead of walking between holes, and their requested accommodation thus likely constitutes a fundamental alteration. Lastly, there is active litigation against the Fish and Wildlife Commission and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks regarding crossbows in the archery-only season. I ask the committee table this bill and allow the court to rule before new legislation is passed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Good afternoon. Chairman, committee members, my name is Dr. Amy LePage, L-E-P-A-G-E. I am a physician in Lewistown, Montana, born and raised in Montana, practiced my entire career here, and I stand in opposition of Senate Bill 298. SB 298 puts an unrealistic burden on physicians to decide this, who gets this permit. SB 298 states that the physician will decide if a person is severely limited, preventing them from drawing and holding a bow of sufficient weight to hunt game. So what is sufficient weight? I don't know. Nobody in this room knows. FWP in Montana does not have a weight restriction. They don't delineate what the weight is, yet this bill is asking me as a physician to decide what that weight to hunt in Montana is for bow hunting. Doesn't make sense. Most physicians are not bow hunters. They don't know what a draw weight is. They don't know what accommodations are out there to change hunting equipment to make it reasonable. And now they're being asked to decide what sufficient weight is. These type of permits with vague, arbitrary decision-making of who gets the permit is what leads to misuse of these permits. The author of the bill had mentioned maybe around 80 people. Well, we've already had 3 proponents come up and say they have lots and lots of people they represent that would benefit this. That means the number's going to go way up. The method of determining this eligibility is going to lead to misuse and problems. We've already seen this previously with another permit modification. So this is what the second part of the bill talks about. So there is a permit that allows people to shoot from a vehicle, so they can hunt from a vehicle. This permit came about previously, started out in 2008 with 500 people. By 2012, there's 11,000 people that can shoot their equipment, their weapon, from their vehicle. The hunting community realized this is dangerous, it's not safe, this isn't right. We need to come up with a limitation. How do we fix this misuse? So the hunting community lobbied and they got this companion. So now if you are limited in your mobility enough that you require to permit to hunt from a vehicle, you now have to have a companion with you. Well, SB 298 takes that companion piece out. So now we're right back where we were at the beginning with the misuse of these permits. In summary, SB 298 asks physicians to do something unrealistic as to come up with who can hold sufficient weight to hunt. And in addition to that, both of these bills open up FWP in the hunting community to misuse of these permits that just get handed out freely. So as a physician, this bill is unacceptable. I urge you to vote no on SB 298. Thank you, and I'll be around for questions.
Thank you. Further opponents? You can be lined up there if you want to, so we can go faster.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jeremy Harwood. That's H-A-R-W-O-O-D. And I serve on the board of directors with the Montana Bowhunters Association. I want to acknowledge the slight progression of this bill. However, many shortfalls presented to you today are the reasons why we ask you to vote no to SB 298. The NBA was promised a seat at the table to help craft this bill and that we would have an opportunity to comment on the draft. After learning that the draft was nearly complete, there was radio silence, and there was no opportunity to participate in the process. I would like to shift your attention to Section 2 of the bill, which is labeled Denial of a Crossbow Permit and the Requirements for Appeal. According to Section 2 of this bill language, if negative impacts arise as documented by the reporting measures for the department, the department will have to individually deny permits to the applicants because of the impact an individual may have, but not on the overall data collected and reported to the department. Requirements, so I guess this process requires the department to handle permits individually. It does not allow the department to manage the effect of the firearm as a whole, and is restrictive for wildlife management decisions. It short-circuits the commission's authority, and it requires the commission to respond to appeals, and by doing so, puts a commission at odds with the department by imposing a threat of lawsuit, financial burden, and ultimately gives all authority, despite the department and the commission's denial, to any one court district in the state. It also allows for an applicant, if there is denial reversal, to obtain a bighorn sheep tag to be selected at their desire. This process is arduous, it's inconsistent, and it steers towards more lawsuits. We as an organization request that you vote no on this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm with the Montana Bowhunters Association, chairman of the PTMAE committee. I'm the one that builds a lot of this adaptive equipment to get these folks out.
Sir, you want to say your name and spell your last name?
Marlon Clapham, C-L-A-P-H-A-M. And over the years of dealing with this crossbow issue, and we've been told multiple times the numbers of disabled vets who are in want of being able to use this crossbow. I have another person that works with me a lot with disabled vets. He's out of Kalispell, and he works with disabled vets all across this state. And we have spent the last 2 years trying to find a disabled vet that wanted to hunt with a crossbow. Every single one comes up to us asking for this adaptive, or this being able to hunt. Basically, what they wanted was a place to hunt with their rifle. And over this past 2 years, I've got 12 different folks who contacted me personally to help make some of this adaptive equipment. After the initial contact, I had three of those folks never responded to me again. Two just wanted a place to hunt. There were three from out-of-state folks that I helped get back into the woods because they wanted to come to Montana to bow hunt. One from Tennessee, one from Wisconsin, and one from Minnesota. I got them set up through their archery shops from across the states. They came out here and hunted. I have no idea if they were successful or not, but they all used the adaptive equipment. Let's see, there was four other folks that came out that wanted to hunt, and all four of them we got between this, I don't know if I can tell you the name of the guy from Kalispell. Anyway, he works with the vets, and between him and I, we contacted multiple landowners, and we got all four of those people on a ranch to be able to hunt either last fall or this coming season. We went looking through different organizations for physically challenged people. There's a group at the University of Montana. It's called Montech. That's what they deal with, physically challenged people. I spent 2 hours in their office going over this, the equipment that I have, and if they had anybody that wanted to be able to shoot archery or bow hunt, they've only had one person in the last 10 years that actually wanted to be able to hunt, and we got him. They got him straightened out. And there's another, they're out of Missoula, and there's another agency called Cutting Fences Foundation out of Billings, and they again have been searching for people that want to be able to get out to be able to hunt and to try to locate people that needed a track chair. And there's we also worked a lot with the Kalispell Combat Center looking for disabled veterans that wanted a place to hunt, and we in 2 years we have drawn a complete bank, and we have a blank, and we have hours on the phone trying to find folks that want to hunt. I have a list here of all the people that have that I've contacted with, made equipment for, and the ranches and stuff that will. I can get hold of them, and then they'll make accommodations. And as far as this adaptive equipment, I didn't print out enough pages to go to everybody. So I've got one fella here who's real early, hunted with a draw lock. He's been extremely successful with bears and deers. Now he's got himself transformed further. I have another kid here who the only motion that he can has, he can turn his head and he can use one arm. And that's it. Nothing else works. I built him a complete setup. It attaches to the feet on his chair. He can reach out, tuck this thing in his chin, and he can shoot and hunt with his. I have a picture here of the adapter that I built. I'm the only one in the country that makes this little adapter that goes on the riser so that they can release the arrow with one arm. This feller here, 2 years ago, lost his arm in an auto crash, ripped his left arm off. And he was a very avid bow hunter. And I spent a couple weeks with him and his therapist. We built him the same equipment, and I got it to him. And so he only didn't get to hunt 18 months, and we had him back in the field. And he literally cried when I gave it to him. This here is a picture of all the stuff that Mr. Pete Siegel was trying to show you. I also have equipment that for people that aren't strong enough to hold their bow, it attaches to your wrist, hooks on your belt so that you can carry your bow. All you got to do is bring it up, put it in the pocket, and it's usable. I also have a piece of equipment that if they're not capable of holding the bow out, I have this piece of equipment that goes around the forearm and the bicep. You lock it in place. You got full function of your arm till it comes time to take a shot. You get it in the right position. You just have to push the lever over, hold the bow up, and it won't collapse. So I know that there's a lot of different physical challenges out there. And every single piece of equipment that I've worked with for every individual has been different. But that's what I've been doing now for, longer than the permit to modify archery equipment has been out there. So we're trying to get somebody else to help. So I oppose this crossbow bill. I don't think it's necessary to be able to hunt just the archery season. It's already legal for them to hunt with a crossbow 300 days out of the year. So that's, do you want me to send these around so you can look at them? I can do that if you want.
That'd be fine.
Thank you, Chair and Committee, for letting me speak.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for your afternoon. My name is June LePage, L-E-P. AGE, and I am a Montana Bowhunters Association member here to oppose Senate Bill 298. Specifically, I'd like to discuss with you Section 1 on the permit to hunt with a crossbow. I have two things I'd like to present to you. The first being, again, that Montana has no minimum draw weight on their archery equipment. And second, the importance of the preservation of an archery-only season. But first, let's look at the no minimum draw weight in Montana. The permit to modify our archery equipment is unique to Montana in that it makes it easier than ever for anyone with any ability who wants to use archery equipment in archery season to do so. And if you did want to use a crossbow, you could do so during rifle season. Which brings me to my second point of importance today, and that is the preservation of an archery-only season. The means by which you harvest an animal is essential to the kill. I'm just celebrated my 20th birthday, and so I've got like 40 or 50 more years of hunting. And archery is essential to my experience as a hunter. Montana's really unique in that our Constitution ensures that hunting is a right of people, as well as the fact that Montana's one of the few states with an archery-only season. For just 6 weeks out of the year, it's only archery equipment out in the wild. I think that's a pretty cool thing for Montana to be able to boast about. The preservation of that is essential. And letting crossbows into this season, as this bill proposes, would be to taint the integrity of such a season, something so unique to Montana that I praise and pride so much as an archer in Montana. This is why I'm in opposition of Senate Bill 298, and I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Brian Kelzer, spelled K-O-E-L-Z-E-R. I'm here representing myself today. I've been archery hunting for over 30 years exclusively. I am very well traveled from the tippy top of Alaska through all of Canada and a lot of the lower 48. This bill, Senate Bill 298, is vague and poorly written, and I've personally seen in two different instances when I've been hunting abroad where this exact thing has been abused. Saskatchewan, a number of years ago, I shared a bear camp with four gentlemen from Minnesota, and one of them was a Mayo Clinic doctor. They all showed up with their fancy shiny crossbows. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. It's legal in Saskatchewan to hunt with a crossbow. After a couple days, I quizzed them and I said, gentlemen, in Minnesota, it's a disability thing to hunt with a crossbow. And the doctor said, well, I wrote us permits. And I said, none of you are disabled. We've got a helicopter pilot. We've got an ex-college football player. We've got another gentleman and we've got you. And he said, I found a way. He goes, wording was poor. It was vague. He goes, I found a condition in each one of these guys that qualified them for a permit. So it was a good old boy's deal to do this. So that was interesting. Ohio, a number of years ago, a good buddy of mine has a deer camp out there. I was back there hunting with him and helping him run some guys. And a truckload of fellows from the East Coast showed up. Same deal. Five of them get out of this truck. Four of them have crossbows. One of them was an older gentleman who had an arm that was a little bit iffy, but by no means unable to draw and shoot a bow. The other guys, all permitted in their states with loose, vague laws in place that allowed them to do so. And I asked my friend, I said, what is this? What is this commonplace? And he replied, oh yeah, everybody's got a permit. I have a partially bionic elbow on this arm. It's hard for me to shoot a bow. I still shoot a long bow. I shoot a lighter bow. I travel everywhere. I hunt with it. I would qualify under this with my bad elbow. I don't need a crossbow. I like my long bow. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Chair Highmile, committee members, my name is Stephen LePage, LePAGE, and I serve on the board of directors of the Pope and Young Club. For those on the committee that are unfamiliar with bow hunting, Pope and Young is North America's leading bow hunting organization. We represent thousands of bow hunters located in every U.S. state, every Canadian province, and Mexico. The mission of the Pope and Young Club is to ensure bow hunting for future generations by preserving, promoting, and protecting its heritage and values. Pope and Young stands in opposition to Senate Bill 298. I'm here today to ask this committee to protect Montana's bow hunting heritage and seasons. To that end, I would like to provide you with Pope and Young's definition of archery equipment from which Montana's was derived and our crossbow position statement. A bow shall be defined as a longbow, recurve, or compound bow that is handheld and hand-drawn, and that has no mechanical device to enable the hunter to lock the bow at full or partial draw. Other than the energy stored by the drawn bow, no device to propel the arrow will be permitted. Consequently, the Pope and Young Club does not consider the crossbow to be a hunting bow and will not accept any trophies collected by crossbow hunters. Further, the Pope and Young Club considers the use of crossbows during bow hunting seasons to be a serious threat to the future of bow hunting. The Pope and Young Club therefore recommends the crossbow should not be considered for use in any bow hunting only season. Also, the club strongly recommends that crossbow hunting be abolished from all existing bow hunting only seasons. We encourage all states and provinces which desire to allow the use of crossbows for hunting big game to require mandatory crossbow specific education, licensing, seasons, and reporting requirements. The Pope and Young Club requests that this committee protect Montana's heritage and archery only season by voting do not pass on Senate Bill 298. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Are there further proponents? Or opponents, sorry about that, opponents. Seeing none in the room, there's a few online, and I think we're going to limit everybody online to 2 minutes, if that works. We have Stephanie Prater.
Senate Fish and Game Committee members, my name is Stephanie Prater, P-R-A-T-E-R. I served on the FWP Elk Management Citizen Advisory Group and also serve as a director at large for the Montana Bow Hunters Association. I have been bow hunting for over 15 years and have noticed a deterioration of quality of hunt in the past few years. Public lands are becoming increasingly crowded as archery hunting popularity has grown exponentially. Numbers were approximately 40,000 in 2011 and now up to almost 60,000 this past year. According to the fiscal note that was not provided for this year, but last year, I have it in front of me, it was 9,364 hunters would qualify for the crossbow permit according to the loose and liberal requirements presented in SB 298 in just the first year of implementation. That is expected to grow annually. That is an enormous increase in pressure, especially in the eastern part of the state where public access is very limited and it's becoming a popular area for elk hunting. I fear that many of the other western states who have allowed crossbows have gone to a choose your weapon or choose your season or shortened multi-season structure to help disperse the added pressure. These states include Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, Utah, and parts of Idaho. Many
3 seconds remaining.
Okay, sorry. I just urge you to vote no on this. Thank you.
Next, Jess Wagner.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jess Wagner. That's W-A-G-N-E-R. I'm a bow hunter representing myself. There are many reasons why crossbows do not belong in archery-only season, but I would like to share with you where and when crossbows are already legal to hunt with in the state of Montana, whether the hunter has a disability or not. Between August 15th and the opener of archery season, a hunter can hunt cow elk during the shoulder season with the crossbow. Starting September 1st, hunters can pursue fall turkeys with the crossbow. Once archery season begins, hunters can hunt with the crossbow on weapons restricted state land. Starting September 15th, hunters can use a crossbow to hunt moose, bighorn sheep, mountain goats, and black bears. Also starting September 15th, hunters can use a crossbow to hunt deer and elk in hunting districts 150, 280, and 316. Hunters can also use crossbows during the general antelope rifle season and the general firearm season. After the general firearm season, hunters can still pursue game by means of a crossbow in many areas for white-tailed deer until January 15th. Beyond the late whitetail season, hunters can hunt cow elk during the shoulder season until February 15th. Hunters can also hunt spring black bears from April 15th until June 15th with the crossbow. Further, hunters can pursue mountain lions and wolves with the crossbow. The reality is that every year, there are over 300 days during established Montana hunting seasons where crossbows are a legal weapon to hunt with.
3 seconds.
Senate Bill 298 is overly prescriptive and unnecessary. I urge you to vote no on SB 298. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, John Sullivan.
Chairman Heimbaugh, members of the committee, my name is John Sullivan. I'm here today representing the Montana chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. While we understand the goal of this legislation, and we think it's admirable, we also commend the bill sponsor for making some improvements based on previous attempts to do the same thing. We do find some serious issues within the bill that cause us concern, and therefore we oppose SB 298 as written. Now, we submitted written testimony yesterday, which I hope you all have a chance to read before making a final decision. Given that, I'll be very brief. I'd like to point out two of our concerns within the bill as written. First, Senate Bill 298 would reward crossbow applicants with any hunting permit of their choice if they are initially denied a permit, but have that initial decision reversed upon appeal. Mind you, the individual's costs of the appeal would then be reimbursed by the state. There appears to be no limit to what special permit the individual can request, and the department must issue that permit. This seems ripe for abuse. Secondly, Senate Bill 298 eliminates the requirement of a companion for both the unrelated hunting from a vehicle permit and for the proposed crossbow permit. The requirement for a companion for the hunting from a vehicle permit was put in place by the legislature after widespread abuse. It was a wise move, and it worked very well to stop that abuse. We would think that the companion requirement would then apply to both of these special permits. Senate Bill 298, ultimate goal is admirable. However, the current bill language is problematic. We ask that you table this bill and encourage the sponsor to work with the hunting and archery groups to find a path forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other opponents in the room? Any more opponents in the room? Seeing none, are there informational witnesses?
Mr. Chair and committee members, I'm Ken McDonald. I'm the administrator of the Wildlife Division with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and available to answer any questions on behalf of the department.
Are there further informational witnesses in the room? Seeing none in the room, Richard Llewellyn online?
Yes, I'm online. My name is Richard Llewellyn. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. I practiced for 34 years. I find this bill to be problematic because the...
Sir, you, if you're an informational witness, you don't have a position, but if you want to be an opponent, you can be.
Well, generally, I guess this bill is problematic because the disabilities
are... So we'll just sign you up as an opponent.
Okay. Anyway, I would recommend that if a bill like this is passed, that they have something like this, the state of Washington, to determine whether or not an individual cannot draw a bow and would be appropriate for this bill. I think it's too vague. The other problem is that if you have a permit to hunt from a motor vehicle, you're required to have a companion. And there's nothing like this in this bill. I know that quite a few of these people that might qualify would have a difficult time tracking down an animal and dispatching it by themselves. The other problem with this bill is the appeals process. The first thing that they'd like to do is appeal this. If you don't get a permit, you can appeal it to the department or the medical examiners. Now, the medical examiners are not disability experts. Their purpose is to regulate the practice of medicine in Montana. So this is totally inappropriate that they would be part of the appeal process. The other part of the bill that's really not very good is the part where you can get a license and recover your attorney fees. I think that this just encourages litigation in our state. I'm a longtime bull hunter, and I oppose this bill. It's very vague, and I think it would cause a lot of problems in our state. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no more opponents in the room, is there questions from the committee? Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'll start first with Dr. Amy LePage. Mr. Chair, Dr. LePage, do you have any suggestions on maybe in the bill how we might be able to firm up the language in regards to individuals who might qualify for disability?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion with the word disability thrown around here. So a person is disabled if they have a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits their ability to do one or more major life functions. It's really more of a legal term. If you want to get on disability, you go to the Social Security Administration, you put in your request, they might get the physician records and sort of decide, do you qualify for disability? So this bill is more about specific injuries and impairments. So the initial part with the crossbow is, are you able to fully draw and hold, so it's going to be upper body strength, you know, neck, back, muscles, shoulders, all of that. So I think it has to be a lot more specific, but you also have to decide what is sufficient weight. Is it a 5-pound crank? I mean, is it a 5-pound bow? Is it a 70-pound bow? I think there's too much, it's too vague. I don't know if I can say, like, how we're ever going to decide that. I can guarantee you I can't pull that 70-pound bow back, and I never will. There's then the idea with American Disabilities Act is that what's an accommodation? So an accommodation are the things that are going to make it possible for somebody with a limitation or impairment to participate in that event. So there's a lot of different comparisons, but it's very different between fundamentally changing that event. So if you have an impairment that prevents you from being participating in an event, let's say a bicycle race, I can't pedal a bike very
Dr. LePage, if you could kind of stick to bow hunting, that would
so
be
how do I think we could come up with a good way to this? I don't know if I have an answer to that. I think it is such a broad, vague category. It is going to be misused. You're going to end up in all sorts of lawsuits, which this bill tells you state of Montana will then pay for. So I think it's going to I think you're going to have a very difficult time deciding all of this unless you have some specific panel for it that would come up with these tests. I mean, it's a whole panel through the Social Security Administration that decides who can do what and who can decide what accommodations, like vocational rehab, how do you get somebody back to it?
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Sorry, that was a little vague. I see what you're asking.
Mr. Chair, not really, but I'm going to move on to maybe Liberty Brown.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Brown, looks like through my research, some of the fastest compound bows are, looks like now about 350 feet per second. Is that, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yeah.
So, and then Mr. Chair, Mr. Brown, so if you had a compound bow at 350 feet per second and a crossbow at 350 feet per second, would both of those shoot accurately about the same distance?
There's too many factors. I mean, weight of arrow, weight of broadhead that go into that. I see the point that you're trying to make. My issue with the new crossbows versus compound bows is the way they're marketed to shoot out to beyond accuracy out to beyond 100 yards or more. It promotes unethical hunting. I mean, you wouldn't, even though a compound bow today can shoot 350 feet per second, they would never market the fact that they can shoot out to 100 yards because, one, it's would be hard to prove that with a compound bow accuracy-wise. It would totally depend on the person who's shooting. And two, it's not ethical in archery.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Mr. Brown, I would agree with on your accuracy, but that applies to just about any, whether you're using a rifle or anything. In regard to, I've seen some pretty nice compound bows recently that they have sights on them, and I actually shot one once, and it's almost, to me, it was almost like using a scope. So are there a lot of individuals in some of these new compound bows, and a lot of them have almost like a sight mechanism, which makes it much easier to hit your target?
Well, those are illegal in Montana.
Okay. Follow up? Mr. Chair, I'm not sure. I don't shoot a bow, but I've seen a lot, even folks are out hunting, and they've got some type of definitely sight mechanism.
You should go to the chair so we get a good
quote. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hurst, there is a ton of technology for compound bows, for sure. Yeah, I mean, automatic sights, GPS sights, red dot stuff. One of the things I really love about the state of Montana is that we limit that here. That's another problem that I really have with this bill is that it takes away the power from the commission to actually regulate the technology for the crossbows. And there's nothing in the bill that states what kind of technology will be allowed next year. And I just really think that presents a problem for wardens for fish and game, for just, I think it, every year you're going to have people coming in here proposing new legislature with trying to get technology passed so that they can go hunt with the new technology on their crossbow.
Other further questions from the committee? Senator Curry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, for the sponsor.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Curry.
Senator Molnar, so on page 2, line 21, it says the department shall, in accordance with 511.210, to the, or the department shall report to the Environmental Quality Council on the number of persons issued a permit to hunt with a crossbow in a previous licensed year. And that goes on to say, excuse me, the certified conditions that qualified the person to obtain a permit. So I don't know that FWP could collect that information. So if a question to you, if a physician has certified the individual, do we need to ask why and enumerate the reasons?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Curdy, good question. The permit, before you get the permit, there's a signed affidavit from a physician that says basically you cannot draw or hold the bow. When I got my permit, he said, I realize this is ridiculous. He is well aware of my problems. Hold your arms out, hold them up, take the weight, push down, push up. He said, never mind, signed it. Okay, so that information is in the affidavit as to why the doctor signed it. The question of, actually goes a bit beyond your question, so I'll save that for my close unless somebody asks me, but the affidavit states it's 6 months in jail or $1,000 fine if the person lied to the doctor or the doctor lied to the commission. It's a crime.
Is there further questions?
Did that answer your question, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, sir.
Senator Clafferty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions, but my first question is for the sponsor, please. And could I ask you to speak into the microphone, and I can hear you a little bit better. I apologize for
certainly,
that.
And if I tail off and that happens, just say something and I'll readjust.
Okay. My question to you, Senator Mueller, is have you worked with some of the hunting and archery groups to write this bill? And if not, and if this bill does get killed, will you be willing to work with them?
I would like to answer that because the testimony, I realize it's not sworn testimony, was inaccurate. We are in federal court. We asked for an extension so that we could try and settle it here. The judge said specifically, good, because I don't want it in federal court. Neither do I. I don't like suing my own state. She said, you must try to work with the Bowhunters Association to find common ground. I have the emails. I asked one of the people that came up and testified, he's the head of the Bowhunters Association. I said, we are supposed to work together. I can come up to where you are. You can come down to where I am. We can meet in the middle. Let's try and find where we can work, meet in the middle. He said, I'll talk to my board. And I said, when's that? And he told me. A couple weeks later, I said, what'd your board say? No answer. A couple months later, I would like to get together. I'm not sure what your board said. I don't think we need them. I think you and I need to try and find where the common ground is. No response. I can't force them to hold a conversation on this issue. So would I? I'm willing to talk to anybody. But can I? Not alone.
Thank you, Senator.
Follow up.
And my next question would be for Mr. McDonald, please.
Mr. Chair, Senator McLafferty.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. I was reading the bill, and something jumped out at me on page 9. It just had something to do with the hunter safety courses that the department oversees, and it says that they may. Why would they decide, instead of having to do a hunter safety course for this, that they just could? May. That just kind of jumped out at me, and I just wanted to know why you wouldn't do that.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator McLafferty, so right now the department does not have a specific education course or an education course specific to bow hunter safety. So it would be up to the department to determine, you know, whether to invest the resources to put something like that together. And as of now, there is no decision towards that end.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question would be for the young lady from the Bow Hunters Association.
Ms. LePage.
Apologies, I didn't get everyone's name written down. Mr. Chair, Ms. LePage, my question would be, as a bow hunter, why is it that you personally don't want to use a crossbow in bow hunting?
Mr. Chair, Senator, for Thanksgiving break, during Thanksgiving break is rifle season. I can pick up a rifle. I can choose to pick up a rifle and hunt then. But I choose to pick up my bow because it is a different form of hunting, completely different than a crossbow, than a rifle. It is more intimate experience for me as a person. Personally, it is a more intimate experience with hunting, and it is just fundamentally different than a crossbow or rifle. That's why I choose to archery hunt exclusively. So,
follow-up, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Ms. LePage, would you say that experience is more challenging or in some way to you personally to use a bow versus a rifle or a crossbow?
Mr. Chair, Senator, it is more difficult for me to use a bow. Even as an able-bodied person, it is more difficult for me to use a bow than it is to use a rifle or a crossbow.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Would you say for a disabled person that it is potentially more difficult than an able-bodied person to use a typical bow without some sort of accommodation?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, I get your question. Yes, it is more difficult to use a bow. That's why there are those modify archery permits to modify that archery equipment so that it can be used. I would argue that a crossbow is probably pretty difficult to use as well. Certain disabilities would require that they would need accommodations as well for that kind of equipment.
Thank you. I'd have another question, Mr. Chair, for the gentleman from Pope and Young.
Chairman, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I suppose my question for you would be, as you know, Pope and Young seems to oppose generally crossbows being used in any type of crossbow season in general, as you had stated, based on the definition that Pope and Young has. Obviously, that definition wouldn't be changed by this law, and you know, people wouldn't be able to introduce their you know, their trophies into the Pope and Young annals, as it were, for anything killed with a crossbow. But I suppose, to that end, what would you say the reason for the specific strict definition that Pope and Young places on what is a bow? What would you say the reason for that is? Obviously, you weren't there when it happened, but as a member of the organization, what would you say has been taught? And you know what I'm saying?
I believe your question is, why do we embrace limited technology
in archery-only seasons. Am I summing it up fairly well?
Yes.
Okay. So archery seasons are predicated on giving out lots of permits and lots of time because there is a limited success rate. Technology creep is phenomenal. And when you start bringing in advanced, you know, things with electronics, most of the high-end crossbows are coming with electronic scopes and things like that. Scopes, you know, I've never seen a scope on a compound bow, et cetera, et cetera. When technology creeps, harvest rates rise, permits get pulled, seasons get shortened. So the reason we oppose advancements in technology is to keep the primitive season primitive.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
So would you say it's accurate that a person using any type of advanced technology, even a crossbow, would be, as in your definition, technology creep that would in some way make it easier to harvest an animal? As you said, that the kill rates go up.
Right.
And the amount of tags being drawn or being actually filled go up as a result. Would you say that's accurate?
Chairman, Senator, yes, I would. Yes. I'm not quite sure I got a question. I wasn't sure what the question was, though. Harvest rates increase with the addition of crossbows. Is that...
That would be... Well, crossbows or technology, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Right.
So one last follow-up, Mr. Chair. So I suppose the next question would be in relation to, handicapped, disabled individuals using a crossbow or additional technology. Would you say that that technology, being as it makes it easier to get these harvests and hunt inside of the bow season, would you say that that technology might actually put those disabled individuals on the same level of being able to hunt, or at least attempt to get them at the same level of hunting as the individual who has no disability and can use these primitive technologies without accommodation?
Shorten the question for me.
I suppose a short version of the question would be, does technology and crossbows make it easier for a disabled individual to harvest an animal?
Absolutely. Yeah, but and so does a rifle.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McDonald.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, Mr. McDonald, you know, we had some testimony that possibly doctors would not know, if somebody was disabled or possibly they would lack the integrity and fill out the permit anyway. And there is a fine for doing so, as the bill sponsored said, there is a fine for falsifying that information. Have we ever prosecuted that fine? Has anybody ever received that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, to my knowledge, no. And I'm going to look at Quentin to our, my knowledge, we never have. And a big reason for that is, who are we to question, the expertise of a field that we have no expertise in.
And so then a follow-up. Since would it possibly be appropriate to increase that penalty just to be sure that our doctors are making good choices?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, hard for me to speak to that. I don't know what motivates the medical profession or disincentivizes.
Thank you.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to follow up, I think, on kind of a similar line of questioning as Senator Hertz, and I have a question for Liberty Brown.
Uh,
Mr. Chair, Mr. Brown, you shared the special use application for persons with disabilities with the crossbow from Washington as an example, I assume, of something that you think is adequate as a filter for who should qualify for a crossbow permit with disabilities?
Mr. Chair, Senator Flowers, I found some inadequacies with it. I didn't find it fully adequate, but I felt it was a big step forward compared to what is being proposed.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Brown. So do you know how many disabled persons qualify for a crossbow under this Washington standard in the state of Washington?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you. Now a question for Mr. McDonald.
Follow up.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Senator Flowers.
Mr. Chair, Mr. McDonald, can you just summarize the status of the lawsuit that's been referenced today and give me your opinion on the impact the passage of this lawsuit, of this bill would have on that lawsuit?
Mr. Chair, Senator Flowers, unfortunately, I haven't been involved in that, and I'm going to look to Quentin. That'd be something we'd need to get with our legal counsel and have her visit with you on that. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McDonald, I just one brief comment. I want to compliment all the testimony today, I think from the sponsor on through all the proponents, opponents. I think it's been really well done, and thank you for participating from my perspective.
Thank you. Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, question for Mr. McDonald.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, Mr. McDonald, I know there's restrictions on what compound bows and the technology. Do our game wardens, are they actively out there inspecting arrows, broadheads, and compound bows during the season?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hertz, I would say yes. You heard one of the points about the Montana's regulations is we don't have in statute or in regulation the weights. That came out a few years ago specifically because that wasn't something our guys could enforce. You know, you're taking the word of what's on the owner's manual basically of that bow. But yeah, they're out there making sure that that the archery hunters are meeting the definition of archery equipment during the archery only season.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Mr. McDonald, in looking at this proposed bill, do you see any major concerns about the department in order to enforce this bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hertz, I guess I'd say no in the sense that you know, if we lay out what the requirements are, then the department will enforce it.
Thank you.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Brown. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Brown. So you just stated that the Washington process was much more adequate. Maybe there was still some inadequacies there. That kind of tells me that there is a point we can get to where we could satisfy everybody's concerns. And I guess my question to you is, maybe it's more of a statement than a question, but my question will be is why can't we get the bow hunters to work with the sponsor to be sure that we have those adequate sideboards on the permitting process? If the Washington regs are closer to what you would want, where do we get to the point that the bow hunters would be satisfied that we had the adequate sideboards?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Brown, I don't speak on behalf of any bow hunter organization. I'm here representing myself. So I can't speak to that, how we get them together. I am sure just being members of a number of organizations that include bow hunters, I know some bow hunters that would never support crossbows for anyone. Me personally, I have no problem with someone like Mr. Roscoe. I have no problem with him using a crossbow, as I mentioned in my testimony, but the way this bill was written, the way the last bill was written, and the previous 10 bills before that were written, opened the door for, like I said, people like me to go out and use it, legally go out and use a crossbow, and I just don't think that's right.
So then one follow-up? So then would you think it would be a good idea for the bow hunters to get together with the bill sponsor and to work with him before we take executive action on this bill to get as many adequate sideboards on there as we can?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Brown, I think that would be a good idea. I don't know if it's a realistic to get it done this legislative session. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Seeing no more questions, so Senator Renner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Mr. McDonald. Mr. Chair, Mr. McDonald, in Section 1, Subsection 3, it has the a person issued with a permit can hunt with a crossbow with a scope only if the scope is not battery-assisted or the magnification is no more than 10 times. While hunting a crossbow may not be equipped with a mechanical arrow, a bolt drop compensator device, including but not limited to jack plates. What would be the penalty for violation of any of these?
Mr. Chair, Senator Vermeer, not my area of expertise, but I'm assuming it's a basic violation of commission rule, which is, I believe, misdemeanor.
Great. Thank you.
I can get you specifics from our folks if that would help.
Okay, that'd be great.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no more questions, did we need to give you a time limit, Senator Mullen, to close your reeler?
Mr. Chairman, the First Amendment to the Constitution guarantees me freedom of speech regardless of when dinner hour is. I'll try, however, to rein that in just a bit.
That'd be great.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, if I can get this to work, maybe I'll get it to work here in a little bit, but all of us know Mr. Hagan.
Senator Molnar, remember that Senator Claflin's online there, and she's having a hard time hearing. So.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. If I could, Mr. Chairman, Roger Hagan emailed me while this is going on. We all know that he is with the various veterans groups that lobby up here consistently. And he said, Senator Molnar, I'm not able to attend this hearing in person as I have three hearings at 3 p.m. in three different committees. But I have signed in as proponent for the Montana Department of the American Legion as well as two National Guard associations, officer and enlisted. I don't know why anybody's having trouble finding disabled veterans that want to hunt with a crossbow. I certainly do not. I think to just kind of go through it very quickly, some of the things that were brought up, one is the accommodation. The problem is the accommodation doesn't work. That's what the people that have to use it say. The accommodation is a crossbow held in this manner. You've never heard anybody say that anybody is out there breaking the law, creating fraud, to hunt with a draw lock. There's a good reason for that. The regular compound bow is more accurate, lighter, and easier to use. If you can't lift that compound bow, putting 2.5 pounds of adaptation on it isn't going to help. And that's the issue. Arizona and Colorado, I talked to both of them. I have talked to every fish and game department of the Intermountain West and of all the provinces. There have been zero cases brought against physicians for lying or people for lying. The bill is clear. If you think that my permit request is a fraud, the doctor is a fraud, take me to court. Throw me in jail. Both said specifically, there is no reason for a doctor to risk his license to help somebody hunt with a crossbow. And they thought it was funny that I was even asking the question. There was one person charged and found guilty of hunting from a vehicle under deceptive practices. I asked the fishing game person, what was that? He said, we found him 5 miles back in on a horse. You can't do that if your legs don't work. I said, did he take you to court? He said, no, he paid the fine and we've never seen him again. I ride a horse because I can't go 5 miles and drag something back out. Doesn't make me a fraud. It makes me a guy with a bad leg. I would like to go into Senator Hertzog. He's not here. But he asked about inspections in the field. What is there to inspect? The only limitation is a 16-inch arrow, which goes to, can the commission work on this stuff? That's a crossbow arrow, 16 inches. I asked director Hank, the director, I said the draw let off is 80%. I ran into four hunters from Texas who had let offs at 85%. How many do you catch and what's the fine? He said, we've never caught one. I said, why not? He said, how would we know what the let-off is? I said, it's stamped on the cam. That's how you know. The other thing these guys had, they all had compounds, they all worked in high tech down in Houston, is, and I was out clearing trails, I'm a volunteer. And they come out and I asked to see their bows, I haven't seen like it. They're $2,500 bows, they're all identical. I said, I've never seen a sight like that. What's that thing on the bottom? He said, I've got the 20-yard pin, the 30-yard pin, the 50-yard pin, and my 60-yard pin. I said, yeah, my son has one, but what's that deal there? He said, 70, 80, 90, 100. He clicks it up. No limitation. The only limitation anybody is talking about is disabled people. If you're disabled, we will limit every aspect of this. If you're not disabled, we don't care. We have regular scopes, just like a pistol scope, long arrow relief, you can put it on your compound bow. And I forget who said it, but the bill doesn't say you can use a 10-power scope. It's limited to a 4-power. It doesn't really magnify. It gives you clarity. 100-yard shot, every state that's done a study, the average compound shot is 35 to 37 yards. It's a bow. The average crossbow is 37 to 39 yards. It's a bow. What he's talking about is what's called an R29 Raven. It's a $2,500 bow with a $3,000 scope because that dart will drop 1.5 stories between 0 and 100 yards. How do you do that? You don't use a 300-grain arrow. Use a 259-grain arrow. You can't put a hunting tip on it, and you're not going to get any penetration. The testimony has been that fraudulent to the facts. That fraudulent. You want that bow to go faster? Use a lighter arrow. You want that bow to shoot faster? Use a lighter arrow. That is 330 feet per second, the exact same as the average compound. You go over 400, you can't use a hunting head. They plane too bad. Those were punching paper, not for hunting. Will there be increases in technology? It could be. Can the commission, if this bill passes, say no batteries in your scope? Yes. That's already the law. Can they say 15-inch arrow? Yes. They've already got 16. They didn't need my permission. Can they say nothing under 400 feet per second? Why? No deer has ever complained that he got hit with an arrow traveling 400 feet per second, and he was thinking 350 would have been a better deal. It doesn't. The state of Montana has no standing in the speed of this bow, that bow. We have increased the opportunity for wolf hunting, black powder, you name it. Last time we went, the only people that were left out of a reasonable accommodation were disabled people, the only ones. 48 states allow the use of a crossbow by disabled people. Wyoming has been for 50 years, they didn't even care if you're disabled. Idaho. I asked her many problems. Have you ever done your surveys? It's a couple hundred people. Who cares? No state has seen 5,000 people clamor to use a crossbow. It hasn't happened. If it hasn't happened, how do I negotiate, Senator Brown? How can I negotiate something that has never happened that is a conspiracy theory? The facts are plain. 48 states do it. None of them have had the problems you've heard here today. None of them are in any way thinking on pulling it back. None has ever prosecuted a doctor or somebody for lying to use a crossbow. The picture I've had me hunting last year for goats, on day six, my son went up and I didn't really took a picture of me. I couldn't carry it anymore. It's too heavy. It's over 10 pounds. I took my pack horse up, put my crossbow stuff on it because I couldn't carry it. These guys, that if Mr. Roscoe thinks that, and a lot of guys, when you read the comments, I got to use a crossbow because my other is too heavy. Reality check, if you can't carry this bow, you can't carry that bow. This is not a placebo or a panacea for everybody. The draw lock is not. That is not. The department, and this goes to what one of them said, the department, by federal law, cannot grant across-the-board denial. It's an individual application. They have to look at it individually. They've looked at over 400 and granted them. They still have 250 of them out there. About 15 more per year come in. 15. Where is this mass of humanity clamoring? It doesn't exist. I stand here today on the behalf of the people of Montana who have been wounded in combat, were born that way, wound up with arthritis, who have been bow hunters, want to be a bow hunter for a couple more years, just like me. Just like your kids might be born that way, your grandkids. Are we going to say no? And this goes to what Senator Brown was talking about. The Montana Bow Hunters Association website says no crossbows in Montana ever. They wouldn't talk to me then. I doubt seriously they want to talk to me now.
That closed our hearing on Senate Bill 298. Is there any other anything that anybody wants to bring up for the good of the committee? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, there you are. You got your hand raised. Sorry about that, Senator McLafferty.
That's okay. I just wanted to thank you for making it possible for me to do a Zoom meeting today because I wasn't feeling well, and I thank you for that.
It's been a pleasure. Your smiling face is still on there, Senator McLafferty, so it's been fun to see.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else, Senate Fish and Game will be adjourned.